In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him." Paul declares that his aim, his goal, his objective in life is to please God. No Christian could argue with this. Every person who has the Spirit of God working in his or her life wants to do that, to please the Lord. But there's something more to this desire than we might suppose. In the very next verse, Paul tells us why we should all make this the goal of our lives, writing, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." So Paul is saying we really want to live in such a way as to please God, and the reason is that we're all going to one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we will receive divine recompense for the things we've done while on the earth and in our physical bodies. We have a court date set for us, where we will stand before Jesus and our life here on earth will be reviewed. We do not know the exact time or date, but God does, and no one is exempt from this appearance in the courtroom of heaven. This can be confusing for many who feel that having been saved through faith in Jesus, and since our sins have been forgiven, what would be the point of a judgment seat where we will give account of our lives? Why would God not simply meet us at the gates of heaven and welcome us in? No questions asked. Still, there's no getting around this idea of the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible teaches that both believers and unbelievers, serial killers and prayer warriors, violent, abusive men and gentle, compassionate people, all of us will eventually have our day in the divine court. However, the believer's judgment and the sinner's judgments will be at different times and for different purposes. The judgment of the unbelievers is sometimes called the Great White Throne Judgment, and it is for the purpose of condemnation and to demonstrate God's righteous judgment on the ungodly lives they have lived. Sinners do not all sin at the same rate and at the same level, and each will suffer for their own particular sins and lives, and according to the amount of divine light that was available to them throughout their lives. Jesus said, "That servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes, but he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." But again, you may ask, since the followers of Jesus have been forgiven of their sins, should we not all be in exactly the same situation? Fully forgiven, completely clean, precisely the same. And if so, why would there be any kind of judgment needed for us? There is a concept called purgatory, which says that even though we're forgiven, God still remembers our sins, and it will be necessary for God to punish us for hundreds or even thousands of years until we are fully cleansed from all the bad things we did throughout our lives as Christians. Finally, after years and perhaps centuries of torment and suffering and misery, God will deem us worthy of being in His presence. Our suffering will end, and we will be allowed into heaven. This concept of purgatory is not to be found in the Scriptures. If you had not heard this in church and simply read the New Testament through without any prior thought of purgatory, no one would ever come to this conclusion. Purgatory insults the blood of Jesus Christ and declares that Christ's blood is insufficient for the cleansing of the soul. Paul declared that he looked forward to being with Jesus upon his death, and stated that Christians should look forward to leaving this world, not because they're eager to suffer for centuries as their souls are cleansed in purgatory, but because they will immediately be with the Lord. Paul writes, "We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." But if there is no purgatory, and if all our sins have been completely forgiven and blotted out, what's the point of this judgment seat of Christ? The answer is that there will be a distribution of rewards for our service to Jesus. And it is at that judgment seat that Christ will reveal the precise rewards we will receive while in the body. In other words, while we lived in a physical body on this earth during our short lifetime. The believer's judgment is not so that Jesus can tell you how bad you've been and assign you some miserable time-out spot in heaven where you can pay for your poor behavior. Rather, it is a time when you will discover the eternal rewards you've gained by your service. In the final chapter of the Bible, Jesus says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." Jesus encourages us that when we give a big party, we should not invite our rich neighbors because, well, they'll probably repay us by inviting us to one of their parties later on. Instead, he says, when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Jesus is telling us that we'll be rewarded for specific acts of kindness and service when we get to heaven. He's not telling us that we'll be saved and gain entrance to heaven by giving parties for poor people. Acceptance by God comes exclusively through putting our faith in Jesus. But Jesus is saying that when we show compassion for the unfortunate, God will remember and he will grant us eternal blessings because of our concern for those everyone else ignores or rejects. In Matthew, Jesus says, "The Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels." In Matthew, Jesus says, "The Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." Even the smallest acts of kindness that we do in Jesus' name will be remembered. Jesus says, "Whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, as surely I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward." We sometimes think God pays little attention to us small people. Perhaps he does watch over kings and presidents, but he has little time for school teachers and construction workers and department store clerks. But Jesus tells us he does not miss a thing. He is keeping a careful record of our Holy Spirit-inspired works of kindness and ministry, and one day we'll be rewarded for each one. These are, according to Jesus, treasures in heaven. And he admonishes us, these are, according to Jesus, treasures in heaven. And he admonishes us, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. These heavenly treasures will be enjoyed by us in eternity. 1,000,000,000,000 years from now, we will be experiencing the blessings of these rewards for things done in our short little few decades of life on this earth. If a man buys me a meal as a token of his appreciation, that meal will last me for a few hours. If he gives me a car, that automobile might last me perhaps 15 years. But if he gives me a well-built house, that house may do me good for the rest of my life. But our Heavenly Father wants to reward us for our service to Christ with blessings that will not last us for a day or 15 years or even 70 years. He will give us rewards that will last us throughout eternity. In our short little lives here on the earth, we are accumulating eternal blessings we will be enjoying trillions of years after we first enter heaven. Paul writes, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." What amazing benefits there are in knowing and serving Jesus. The forgiveness of our sins, the gift of eternal life, eternal fellowship with God, and on top of all this, we will receive rewards for every good thing we've done while in this present body. Is it any wonder that the sinner is given the title unbeliever? They throw away an eternal inheritance, blessings beyond anything our world could ever offer, and exchange them for the proverbial bowl of stew. May the Holy Spirit open their eyes that they may see the fantastic and eternal inheritance available to every one of us who is in Jesus Christ.